chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter number 1. We'll begin our reading with verse 57. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Appreciate you being here. I realize some of you are visiting with your mother and all of that. We appreciate that. We welcome you today and ask God to speak to your heart. I want the Lord to speak to me. I'm asking the Lord right now, my own heart and mind, speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. The word of God says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called his name Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he should be called John." This is John the Baptist. "And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. They marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." I want you to notice the phrase in verse number 60, the phrase that says, "His mother." This is John the Baptist. So today we are preaching on Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning, and I pray on this Mother's Day that you will still our hearts. Help my heart to be right and clean before you. May there be nothing hindering you in my life. And I pray, dear Father, that you'll take your word and preach it through me today. I yield myself to you. May you be the preacher. May you challenge our hearts, convict those that need to be convicted, encourage those that need to be encouraged, change all of us to be more like Jesus Christ. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptist was a mighty man of God. John was the forerunner, the Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament. And during his life, he was a powerful, powerful preacher. He saw the Lord and proclaimed him to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He made much of Jesus Christ in his life. We see John later in life saying, Christ must increase while he must decrease. John the Baptist was put into prison for taking a stand against Herod's sin of taking another man's wife. And it was in this place that his head was cut off of his body for preaching the truth of God's word. This man called John the Baptist was truly a man of God, mightily used for his glory. I'm 38 years old. John the Baptist died before he reached the age of 38. His head was cut off his body in his early 30s, so to speak. And as I'm my age and still fairly young, I'm going to say that as long as I can, you know. I think about John the Baptist, who had already been martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. But you know, today, we look at an aspect of John the Baptist that sometimes gets overlooked. And that is, we look at the life of his dear mother. The life of this woman who God used so mightily. The life of the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a mother by the name of Elizabeth. There's not much mentioned of her in the entire Word of God, but what is mentioned of her shows us what kind of a woman she truly was. God blessed this mother's life in a marvelous, marvelous way. And as we consider John the Baptist's mother today, I want us to apply these lessons for our own life. All people, especially mothers, but all people, can learn some invaluable lessons from this dear woman of God. All of us, especially mothers, can take this outline that I'm going to give you and make it a prayer list, begging God to help us have these same statements true about us. Now I want to look at Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and give you statements about her
And I want us to apply this to our own life. Number one, John's mother, first of all, was righteous before God. Look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to stay here and look at verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Notice this. And they were both righteous before God. Notice that statement, righteous before God. You know what the word righteous means here when you look it up? It means innocent. It means just, it means right, and it means holy. Get this. There is no doubt that the greatest thing that could be said about this mother was that she was innocent, just, right, and holy before God. This means in the sight of God and His holy presence, God found no fault. Now think about it. This can mean, and it's what I'm applying to it, this is speaking of salvation. And no doubt it could also speak of sanctification, all of this, but you know that both of these go hand in hand. If it's speaking of her sanctification, we know it's flowing from a forgiven heart, because no one is righteous before God in themselves. Nobody. Nobody can live a life to the fullest and say, and God say they're righteous, they're holy, they're just before me. The only way it can be said that a person is righteous before God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:10 says that it's written, there's none righteous. No, not one. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, talking about Christ is our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The greatest thing that is said about John the Baptist's mother is that she was righteous before God. And may I say this, if you're a mother today or any human being at all, and I trust we have just human beings in this auditorium, the greatest thing that can be said about any mother is not that she can cook good meals, not that she took care of you, or that she's taking care of her children, not that she's in church today. The greatest thing to be said about a mother is that she's righteous before God. That she is saved and she's on her way to heaven. A child having a mother who is righteous in the presence of God is what this country needs, friends. God give us more mothers. More mothers who are children of God and righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Number one, John's mother was righteous before God. Number two, John's mother, these are statements now taken from the Word of God, walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. I know that's a long point, but it's taken from the Word of God. I'm just giving you statements about her. She walked in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. Look at verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Look at verse number 57 and following. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. The reason I read those verses is because that's what God told her to name the boy. I mean, I say this to you, the second thing we see about John's mother is that she walked in all the commandments of God. She walked in all the ordinance of God blameless. You know what this means? This means she lived her life simply in obedience to the will of God for her life. Notice how the Bible tells her that tells us that she walked in all the Lord's commandments, in all of the ordinances of the Lord. This goes to show that she didn't pick and choose what to obey and what not to obey. She didn't question the Lord's authority in her life. She simply obeyed what the Lord told her to do. She did it to the point that she was blameless, the Bible said. They obeyed all the commandments, all the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. You know what the word blameless means? It means faultless. It means unblameable. It means irreproachable. In other words, she had a wonderful testimony that if nobody else is going to do what I say, God knows that woman will listen to what I say. That woman will obey no matter what it is. Whatever I tell her, she's going to obey all my commandments, all my ordinances, unreproachable, unblameable, faultless. Interesting thought about her obedience is found in the next verse, verse number 7, when it talks about how they obeyed the Lord in all the commandments, all the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But notice the next phrase, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Now get here, friends. By the way, if I happen to be speaking to a lady that you're praying for a child, you're praying for God to bless you with a baby, I'm not trying to stick a dagger in your heart. God knows my heart. And you pray and ask God, and you trust God for the will of God. But the point I'm trying to make here is such a vital point. The verse before it's brought out, she was barren, she had no child. It's the verse before that that says she obeyed God's commands and ordinances completely. What's the point? This means that at this time, when this statement's made, she had given birth to no children. Which back in this day, the Bible day, not any longer, but back in this day, it was looked upon as a thing of reproach. It was a major thing of reproach back in this day for a lady not to be able to give birth. Now get this, here's a lady. No doubt she's burdened because she's barren. No doubt she wants children. But at this time, she has none. Isn't it interesting that it comes out the verse right after it said, she just obeyed everything God told her to do. What's the point I'm trying to make? The point is, instead of getting mad at God and questioning His dealings, she just kept on obeying God in spite of her trial. Along with this, we see her continuing to obey His commands after the birth of John by naming him what the angel said to name him. Instead of what others said, name him this, name him after his father, she said, not so. This boy's name is John. Get the point here. This mother walked in God's commands when her life was good and when her life was bad. Now this is a great thought to learn. All mothers, don't you start to see why, whether you're a mother or not, even if you're a man, you can learn from this woman? But since I'm applying it to mothers, I'm applying to all mothers, I'm applying to all of us, but especially mothers, can learn a valuable lesson here. The lesson is to find the commandments of the Lord and obey them regardless of your current situation. If you're on a mountaintop, obey God. If you're in a valley, obey God. We need mothers today who have a blameless testimony of just doing all that the Lord commands in His precious word. Determined to be a mother of the Bible who obeys all God's commands. This is what children need more of today. You know what children need? Moms are just going to obey God. Amen. I'll amen myself this morning. Children need moms with a blameless testimony like Elizabeth, that no matter what God tells mama to do, she's going to do it. It doesn't matter what God tells my mama. If God says go right, she's not going to go left. If He tells her to jump, she's going to say how high. Whatever God tells my mama, that's what she's going to do. That was Elizabeth. Is that you? Are you obeying God's commands no matter what they are? All the commandments of God, all the ordinances of God, blameless. I didn't say it, God's word does. It is possible to be a Christian who obeys God to the point where God says they are blameless. They're obeying me blameless in that. They are obeying me minutely. May I say this to you? My heartbeat as your pastor for this church
is to find the will of God. And when God tells us what to do, I've committed myself. God, if you'll tell us what to do, we'll do it. I mean it. I don't care what it is. I'm with every fiber of my being. If God says, Jody, I want the church to do that, we will do it. I hope you agree with that. By the way, it's the same way with my family. God, show me as the dad, show me as the husband, what do you want us to do? And if God will show us, we'll do it. God knew when he sent the angel to Elizabeth and to Zacharias, and he told them, I'm going to break the mold here. I don't want you to name him after his daddy. I want you to name him John. And that's exactly what this couple did. That's exactly what this mother did. What a testimony. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. God's word said, blessed are those that hear the word and keep it. It's good to hear it, and it's good to keep it. I'm on blood pressure medication. I inherited that from my mom. That's one thing I'm not thankful for, but anyway. I didn't inherit that from you, you know. Well, some of you may chip in on that, I'm not sure, but all of this. This is such a simple illustration, but it applies here. It's a good thing I found out I've got it. I didn't say it's a good thing I've got it. I said it's a good thing I found out I've got it. And they applied this medicine to me, and I went to the pharmacy, and I get it filled up. I read the instructions. It's good to read the instructions, amen. You know, I think I get 90 pills at a time, and I'm not to take 4 or 5 at one time. I'm to take one a day. I've been a bad boy on that. I'm sorry, but all this. I take one a day. It's good to know the instructions. It's good to know what's right and what's wrong. But if I don't swallow the pill, it's not going to help my blood pressure. There are people who just read the Bible to say they read it. But they know in their heart there's something in this book that they're not doing. Not Elizabeth. Elizabeth obeyed all the commandments and all the ordinances of the Lord blameless. You starting to see? Do you agree? What a mother. She was righteous before God. She obeyed all the ordinances and commands of the Lord blameless. Number 3. She recognized God's favor on her. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, notice this now, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. See, that tells you back in this day what I was saying. It was a reproach for a woman to be barren. And when she finally began to expect a child, she conceived. She got alone. And she just praised God. She was thanking God that he gave her favor. Friends, in other words, she was making it known that she recognized the fact that the baby she was now carrying came from the hand of Almighty God. She didn't look at her son as a burden. She looked at her son as a blessing. She was giving God praise for his favor inside of her body. Would to God that we have mothers who look at their children and break out into praise and break out into adoration for the goodness of God in their life. In a world where babies are being murdered by the thousands, God help mothers of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to look at their children and break out into praise and say, the Lord hath looked upon me The Lord hath been good to me. God has shown favor to me. Psalm 113:9, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 127:3, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I'm not saying that children never get on your nerves. Your children never gotten on your nerves? You're laughing because I think that's an answer, right? If I looked at you and said, my children never get on my nerves, my son would probably stand and testify against me. Sure, every now and then they get under your skin. Sure, every now and then you may in anger respond. But oh, it is a blessing to be able to look at a child and say, God gave them to me. That's Elizabeth. She just couldn't help herself. She just praised God. God has looked on me. God has shown me favor for allowing me to have a child. Number four, this mother not only was righteous before God and walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless and recognized God's favor on her, but number four, she fellowshiped with Mary. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 39. And Mary, this is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. John will be born 6 months basically ahead of the Lord Jesus. Elizabeth is about 6 months along here. She's 6 months along. She'll be giving birth in just a little while. I said that wrong a minute ago. She's 6 months along, not born 6 months ahead of the Lord, but she's 6 months along. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth was 6 months along with John when the angel appeared to Mary to tell her the news that she was to be the virgin mother of the Christ child. Mary was highly favored with God to be chosen as the Lord Jesus' mother. She was God's child and special to the heart of God. She went to the house of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth welcomed her into her home and had sweet fellowship with her. The point is that John's mother opened her home, and into her presence she welcomed one of God's children. She fellowshipped and she chose to allow into her home the influence of a woman who was pleasing to God. You know, in the same way, mothers would do well to learn the lesson of opening their home and opening their lives up to God's children who God is pleased with. We're to be careful with who we associate and fellowship with in this life. Our choices of association and fellowship can affect our children for good or for bad. Let us open our homes and let us open our lives to those with whom God is pleased. This doesn't mean that we go around high-hatting people, no. But that rather means that we are wise when it comes to who we allow to influence our family and influence our children and influence our own lives. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Another thing about this dear mother, this dear woman of God, is she fellowshipped with the right people. She fellowshipped with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Number five, I like this next one. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse number 41. Notice the language here. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. John the Baptist, good night, friends, before he ever came out to breathe his first air, he's doing somersaults inside of his mother. He's excited. I don't understand all this. This is beyond me. But whenever Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, comes in and salutes his mother, John starts doing a dance inside of his mom. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 41, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at that. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This verse tells us when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, John leapt in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, and she began to speak. The Bible says, out with a loud voice she spoke, and began to praise God. She didn't praise her God in silence, but with a strong, big voice, she lifted her voice. She wasn't ashamed to speak out praise to God. She called him my Lord in verse number 43. The mother of my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. She wasn't ashamed to identify with her Lord. She preferred him to her own son. She knew John was special, but she knew there was something more special about the baby inside of Mary. She knew that that was her Lord, and she was praising God. All of these things were natural outcomes of a spirit-filled Christian. You show me somebody says, I'm spirit-filled, but they never witness, they are not spirit-filled. Amen. Because a Holy Spirit-filled Christian lifts his voice in praise to Almighty God. I'm telling you here that this mother was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And because she was filled, she couldn't help but start glorifying Jesus Christ. Start praising God. Start praising her Savior. And anyone who's under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God will speak boldly and unashamedly to honor the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't ever think you're spirit-filled and you can be a mute Christian. Amen. If you're mute and you never speak about Jesus Christ, you are not spirit-filled. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. And when God's Spirit fills you, you erupt and you will speak about Jesus Christ because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And if you're filled with Him where He's controlling you, then He's controlling your mouth and you will say what He says. And that's what this mother's doing. She's praising Him. She's glorifying Him. She's uplifting Him. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Luke 19:37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Two more and we're done. Number six, she not only was filled with the Holy Ghost, but number six, she believed the Word of God. Look at verse number 45. Now, notice in this salutation, Elizabeth is learning that the Christ child is inside of Mary. And notice what she says in verse 45, blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. What is Elizabeth telling Mary? Blessed are you that you believed. Because what God said He's going to do, He will do it. In this verse, we see Elizabeth showing faith in God's word at this point. Even though it was a miracle. And the natural man would shake his head. No way, no way. A virgin conceived? Never heard of such a thing. But instead of Elizabeth shaking her head in doubt, Elizabeth wanted Mary to know that what God said He would do, He will do. She believed what God said. Mothers today would do well to follow Elizabeth in this area as well. God's word is true and needs to be believed. We need mothers today who will go to the Bible and not only obey it, but believe it. Just trust it. We need mothers who show faith in God. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Acts 27:25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Paul said, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. This dear mother was righteous before God. This dear mother recognized the Lord's favor on her life. This dear mother obeyed all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. This dear mother fellowshiped with the right people. This dear mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. This dear mother believed God's word. And in closing, this dear mother encouraged Mary in God's will for her life. Look at verse number 45 again. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In these verses, we see not only Elizabeth believing what God said, but we see her encouraging Mary. Blessed are you. That's her speaking to Mary. Blessed is she that believed. She's saying that to Mary. Blessed are you for believing. She's encouraging this young teenage girl in the will of God for her life. See, friends, we can only imagine how Mary could have been feeling at this time. She had never known a man. Never known a man in a physical aspect. When an angel appears to her and tells her she's going to give birth to the Christ child. Get this. No doubt there would be people accusing her of being immoral. Still are. I'm sure still are. When they find out she's expecting a child and she says, I've never known a man, they'll laugh at her. They'll mock her. They'll falsely accuse her. She could become the talk of the town. But she's simply living in submission to the Lord for her life. And when she comes to Elizabeth's house and she's welcomed with open arms, the babe John leaps in Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth's filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to speak concerning the child Mary's carrying. And she begins to tell her that she's blessed for believing the word of God, and encourages her that what she had heard from the angel, it was going to take place in her life. In this, we see Elizabeth recognizing this young lady had given her body to the will of God for her life. And instead of Elizabeth getting envious or judgmental, she rather uses her energy to encourage this young handmaiden of the Lord. She tries to help this young teenager in the ways and the will of God. In the same way, we need mothers today who will recognize other ladies, perhaps even teenage girls like Mary was at this time. Whether it be their own daughters or whether it be someone else who's just trying to serve God. And maybe everybody's laughing at them and poking at them and thinking that they're no good. May God raise up some mothers in this church that they spot other ladies, other teenage girls trying to do something for God, and they come along beside them not to poke fun, but say, blessed are you for trying to obey God. Let me encourage you. Keep on going for the glory of God. This is who Elizabeth was. It'd be great for mothers in this church to seek out another lady. Ladies with ladies. Not ladies seeking men and men seeking ladies. Can I get an amen there, please? But ladies seeking ladies and men seeking men. Older ladies seeking younger girls. I'm talking about teenagers and men. I'm talking about seeking teenage boys and pouring your life out into them. Trying to encourage them. Go on for God. Do something for God. 1 Samuel 23:16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. It is good for God's people to encourage God's people. A college student sees a sign on a campus reading, earn $100 a week, many years ago, takes a job selling Bibles. This young Lebanese immigrant sets out with a briefcase full of King James versions and a heart full of zeal, only to find that some of his customers lack Christian charity. They slam doors in his face. They laugh at his accent because he's not from here. In his first 85-hour week, 85 hours he spent trying to sell Bibles, he earned $19. And he turned to his sales manager for advice. The sales manager said, look, when the customer says no, it doesn't mean no. Just take the N and put it on the O and go on. Take the no, make it on, and instead of hearing no, no, just take the N, put it behind the O, and go on. Buoyed by that homily, Salim Ziyadi did go on. And this illustration, which is years old, said today, having Americanized his name as Sam Moore, he still sells Bibles. The country he runs at the time of this writing, Thomas Nelson. At that time of this illustration was the leading publisher of religious and inspirational books, controlling about 30% of the estimated $150 million a year Bible market. This man was Sam Moore, who ran the company Thomas Nelson, who some of you today probably have a Bible that has Thomas Nelson written on it. What would have happened if his sales manager would have said, you're not cut out for this work. You need to find something else to do. You just don't have what it takes. No, thank God for a sales manager who encouraged him. There are teenage girls and teenage boys and younger girls, even older women and older men, that all they need is for a Christian to spot them, come up beside them, put an arm around them, and say, I'm praying for you. Go on for God. That's Elizabeth. In this message, we've taken a look at the mother of John the Baptist. Her name was Elizabeth. And she was a woman mightily used of God. She's truly one who can and should be mimicked from mothers all around the world. And I would go to say by Christians all around the world. It'd be great for ladies of this church to take this message. Men of this church to take this message. Teenagers of this church to take this message. Children of this church to take this message and make it a prayer list. God, number one, make sure that you're righteous before God. And beginning with number two, God, help me to walk in all your commandments and ordinances blameless. God, would you help me to recognize your favor in my life and to praise you for it? God, would you help me to fellowship with the right people and open my doors to the right kind of people? Lord, would you fill me fresh anew with the Holy Ghost? Would you help me to believe your word? And would you help me find somebody that needs to be encouraged? That'd be a great prayer list, wouldn't it? Are you like Elizabeth? May the Lord help us with this. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, take the thought and use it. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. I start where the Lord would have me start, and that's with the first point of the message. Elizabeth was righteous before God. She was just and holy and pure before God. This can only happen through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When they get prepared, they can begin to play through softly as they can. Have you know that you are righteous before God? I didn't ask, are you righteous before other men? I'm asking, are you righteous before God? Are you holy? Are you pure before God? Has there been a time where you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you're trusting in Him and Him alone? Have you know you're saved? That's what I'm asking. You know you're saved. You're born again. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Is there one today say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I tell you, I sure wish I could. I cannot raise my hand saying, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm righteous before God. But the next time somebody asks that, I want to be able to put my hand in the air with everybody else. And would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. This is what I need. Would you be honest? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. but you say, pray for me, I need to be saved. Anybody like that? Would you put your hand up? God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, put your hand up, put it right back down. If you raise your hand, I want you to lower your hand, but I want you to look up at me. Would you do that? Now, God knows who you are. And it could be that you're just doubting, or it could be that you're lost. Let me explain to you what we're doing. You're among friends. We're not your enemy. We praise God you're here. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And when we do that, we're going to give you an opportunity to come. You say, Jody, I don't know. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. You'll only struggle if you don't. We'll put a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll share with you how you can be saved. Please, in just a moment, you come. Have you today say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. But God is speaking to my heart through the life of Elizabeth. Maybe something was preached today that you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about that. I'm not even going to ask you what it is. It could mean, it could be a good thing where God's saying, "You listen, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God fresh anew. But you say, God is using this message to speak to your heart. Let me deal with the mothers first. Would you let me do that? Have you mothers, God is really speaking to you about Elizabeth. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You're a mom, and God is speaking to you about this. God bless you. You can put your hand down. How many, everybody else, whether you're a man, whether you're not a mother, or you're a teenager, you say, Jody, God is using this message about Elizabeth in my life. I needed this. I needed it. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. I want to encourage you to come. I want to encourage you to come. Let's all stand together, please. Father, take it and use it. Help the lost to respond. May people respond to the gospel. May they come and pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. When he does, if you raise your hand saying, I need this message, I want to encourage you to come because you'll be helping others to come. And if you're lost today, not sure you're on your way to heaven, you let us help you. You come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the Gospels. Brother Gary sings, come now. Would you do it? Come on, moms. What about it? Come on, folks, that God spoke to your heart. Come on. Come talk to God about it. Come talk to the Lord about it. Yes, I need to be saved. Come on, right now it is.
I am the clay.
Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Sing through another verse, Brother Gary, if you don't
mind. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only.
Sing another verse, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as if
standing, you can look this way. This is Sean and Eli. Now, which one is Sean? Hello, Sean. How are you today? And that, I guess that narrows it down. You're Eli, right? Very good. And both of you are coming today. By the way, anytime children come in here and they've made a profession of faith, they have been dealt with very thoroughly. Now, we don't take this for granted. We don't push children into decisions. We make sure they understand that this is what they believe the Lord would have them to do. And Sean and Eli both have been dealt with. and you are today coming and asking Jesus Christ to save you and to be your Savior and take you to heaven someday. Is that true? Yes, both of you. Have you happy about this? Would you say an amen? Can you imagine if you're them and turn around and look at all this crowd, how intimidating that must be? So they need to know that they're in a place that loves them and appreciate them being here. Welcome to the family of God. We're excited about this. Praise God for it. And we hope that you'll stay faithful here. We've got a children's discipleship program that we help. Brother John, thank you for bringing them in. I'm going to let you go ahead and take them back out so they don't get hung up in the crowd that we're getting ready to dismiss, okay? Thank you for being here this morning. It's been good to be in the house of God. Yes, I do remind all the ladies of the book. As you leave today, they should be at the doors. Please, just take one, okay? Just take one, and you have to be here to get it. None of this, can I have one for my mama or my, or, well, not your daddy, but anyway, you know, my mama or, no, you have to be here, okay? I appreciate you being here. Be back tonight as we start on leadership. I hope you'll be right in your place. Let's pray together. Brother Barney Bearser, please.